Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
John Batchelor with the new book, Charlie Chaplin versus America by Scott Amon. When art, sex, and politics collided, Charlie Chaplin arrives in America with the Carnot Group. My notes say 1910 to 1913. At first, America overwhelms him. He comes to New York and the vaudeville halls, but he comes to love it and travels with the burlesque, the vaudeville, including the Marx Brothers and Stan Laurel, as mentioned. Stan Laurel knew Charlie in London at the time. This is the Laurel and Hardy. What did he make of him? What was his opinion of the young Charlie Chaplin?
Laurel thought Chaplin was prodigiously talented and studied him carefully on stage. He thought Chaplin was strange as a human being. He wasn't like the other vaudevillians. He didn't mingle particularly with the other vaudevillians. He didn't go out scouting around for girls after the show. He'd stick around and read books. And his professional habits were bizarre. You know, you're supposed to be there a half hour before curtain if you're a performer. And Chaplin wouldn't be there, and there'd be 5 minutes before curtain. And everybody's panicked, where's Charlie? Charlie's not here. And Charlie was the star of the show by this time. And Laurel was Chaplin's understudy, so they tell him to get his makeup on and get ready to go on, at which point Chaplin would breeze in a few minutes before curtain, slap his makeup on, take his position, the curtain would rise, and Chaplin would slay the audience reliably. And this drove Laurel crazy because, A, he didn't get a chance to perform, and it was also vaguely unprofessional. But what I take from that story, which was a recurring thing on the Carnot Company, is that Chaplin had absolutely 100% self-confidence in his professional abilities, even as a young man. He wasn't nervous about performing. He didn't have stage fright. He knew he could control the audience and do his job and make the audience laugh. And he didn't have to sweat it, in other words. Whereas a lot of performers, perhaps most performers, have terrible stage fright and they're nervous. And they use that nervousness to point themselves up for a performance. Chaplin wasn't nervous. He didn't need to be nervous to point himself up for a performance. He had absolute professional self-confidence at a very young age.
So we go immediately to 1914, an important date, of course, because that's the outbreak of the catastrophe in Europe. But it's also the beginning of Charlie's rise in motion pictures. He writes Sid a wonderful letter. Oh, Sid, you're not going to believe this. What is the Sennett Company at the time?
Max Sennett had been in business for a few years at this point in Edendale, California, the Keystone Company. He made comedies. He made rough slapstick comedies. And because he was making two single reel comedies a week, sometimes double reel comedies a week, it was a lot of output. So he needed fresh talent all the time because the industry at this point, the movie industry in Hollywood, is expanding exponentially almost on a monthly basis. So there's a great deal of new companies being formed. A lot of hiring is going on. So a lot of people are leaving the Keystone Company as well as coming in. And Sennett had seen Chaplin, his stage act, with the Carnot Company. And he thought he was very funny. Chaplin's act, basically, he was a comic drunk. That was what he did on stage for Carnot. And he was made up to look 40 or 50 years old. And they negotiated back and forth for a while. And finally, Chaplin agreed to come work for him for $175 a week, which is very good money in 1914. And when he got to the Edendale and he met Sennett, Sennett was appalled because Chaplin was 24 years old and looked about 17. And he was also rather handsome. He didn't look funny at all. He didn't look like a comedian. He looked like a young leading man. So Sennett said, well, this isn't going to work at all. You need to do something about your appearance. So he told Chaplin that he would have to come up with a makeup, some kind of comic makeup. And basically in the space of about an hour, Chaplin went into the wardrobe department and put together the costume that became world famous as the Tramp. The pants were from Fatty Arbuckle. The derby was from somebody else. And he thought, well, if the pants are too big, then what about a coat that's too tight? He wanted contradictions. So he used a waistcoat that was very tight and big slap shoes and a cane for punctuation, for comic punctuation. And he put the costume together very quickly, and he started making movies very quickly. And within several months, it was clear that the movies were becoming extremely popular. There was demand for more Chaplin. And at that point, Chaplin began demanding to direct his own pictures, which took Sennett aback, because Chaplin had only been in the movies for 3 or 4 months at this point. And here Chaplin was demanding control. But the financials were clearly on Chaplin's side. They were selling a lot of tickets to Chaplin movies. So, and Chaplin offered to put his salary in escrow, and if the film was a flop or couldn't be released, then he'd pay for it out of his salary. Well, Sennett couldn't turn that down. So under that agreement, he directed his first one or two films, and they were extremely successful. So from that point on, Chaplin never worked for any other director.
And the Tramp is born, putting two things together now: his memory of Hannah Hill, his mom, whom he couldn't rescue, and that costume that he puts on for Max Sennett. We're watching a comic, a genius comic, take pieces of his life, because as I read from you, Scott, all of his performances were autobiographical. Later on in life, Charlie said, I was part a character out of Dickens and part a symbol out of Shakespeare. That's how he saw himself. Now, quickly, he marries Mildred Harris in 1915. He marries Lita Gray in 1924. Both unsuccessful marriages. He'd been pursuing women, young women, all the time. It was part of being a star in those days, very ordinary, what he was up to. We have about a minute here.
It was ordinary, but he was extraordinarily shy. There's a wonderful story from Groucho Marx in the book that Groucho Marx told. They were friends in vaudeville. And the Marx, they were in Salt Lake City, and Chaplin was leaving Salt Lake City after his booking, and the Marx brothers were coming in, and the Marx brothers invited him to go to a whorehouse with them. And Chaplin said, well, okay. And they got to the whorehouse, and the Marx brothers chose their girls and went in the back. And Chaplin didn't. Chaplin stayed in the lobby all night playing with the dog of the madam. He was too shy to take a girl into the back. And Groucho Marx thought this was completely indicative of his character. And Chaplin was extraordinarily shy. But when Chaplin became world famous, that ameliorated the shyness to a great extent, because he didn't have to approach people. People approached him, including women. And he also got over some of his shyness, and he was able to approach women in a way that he never had been before. So between those two factors of people approaching him and wanting to meet him and all that, as well as his own growing self-confidence, he became much more comfortable with women, which would inevitably cause him a great deal of discomfort and trouble.
The book is Charlie Chaplin versus America. Scott Iman is the author. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.